97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello.
Yeah.
Pleasant Sunday morning to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe, happy, and healthy. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of your Sunday morning with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli and Nat Marlowe across the glass. We're here until 8 o'clock. 610-632-0975. We've got quite a bit to discuss and only 2 hours to do so, so let's jump right into things. You know, normally, I don't script anything when it comes to my shows because I've always felt that this particular medium is one that fuels conversation, one that has, when conversation is the way to go, it becomes more natural. It becomes more of how you feel. It becomes more of, I don't want to say reactionary, because I think sometimes reactionary gets a bad name. But I think that when you have conversations in this particular medium, as opposed to writing an opening dialogue or an opening script, it allows for a little bit more free-flowing discussion. But when I saw the trade that happened last night between the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams, I felt that it was a little bit necessary to write down my thoughts, because if I didn't, I felt that I would be a little bit all over the place. So before we get to those thoughts, if for those of you that have not heard the trade yet, maybe you were asleep, and that's probably why we're all up now. You know, maybe you were at work, if you're working the third shift, the overnight, and you're just getting done, and you haven't had a chance to hear the news yet. The Los Angeles Rams and Detroit Lions have agreed in principle to a trade that would send quarterback Matthew Stafford to the Rams. In exchange, the Lions receive a 2022 and 2023 first-round pick, and a 2021, this upcoming draft, third-round pick, as well as Jared Goff. Yes, breaking news, if you've not heard it. So if this is the first you're hearing it, welcome to the program, first of all. And second of all, I'm sorry that you're hearing it from me, because Adam Schefter broke this news probably at about, what, 10:30, 10:45 last night, and it kind of changed the entire dynamic of where this show was going to go this morning. That's the beauty of sports. And that's the beauty of sports talk radio, is that when you have conversation pieces that pop up, breaking news such as this, that pop up that are, I think, not only relevant to the NFL landscape as a whole, but relevant to the city of Philadelphia specifically in this kind of conversation, it changes how your thoughts and how your show is going to go, you know, a mere 10 hours or a mere 8 hours before the show started. Nat Marlowe and I kind of crossed paths yesterday because he was producing as I was coming in. I took over from there, at, you know, later in the evening. And he and I had kind of mapped out our show. And it was going to be discussing, you know, the Sirianni opening press conference. And we will get to that. And it was going to discuss some Flyers issues. And we will get to that. We were going to talk a little bit of the Phillies as well because of the signings of both JT Realmuto and Didi Gregorius. I've not had an opportunity to talk about either of those two so far. And of course, we will get to all of that. But when news like this breaks, it changes the entire dynamic of your show. I had to write down my thoughts, as I said, because this is not an Eagle-centric conversation, but it does, in a very important way, include the Philadelphia Eagles in the discussion. So first, I'd like to, so what I want to do is take this from a two-part approach, from a macro approach, and take it as a football approach in general, the large-scale macro approach, and then we'll dive into more of the micro approach, the Philadelphia Eagles specific approach. Because when I look at the trade that just went down, this is a trade that involves not one, but two former number one overall picks. I have never felt like the NFL was a, quote, player trade league. Now, what I mean by that is not players get traded all the time, but most of the time, when a player gets traded, they get traded for draft pick compensation. Now, of course, the importance of this trade is that Detroit is getting the Rams next to, not the current one coming up, but the 2022 and the 2023 first round pick. So, not this year, but over the next 2 years, they're going to have multiple first round picks. They're going to have two picks within the top 32 selections. That's crucial to rebuilding, which is clearly what the Detroit Lions are doing. But very infrequently do you see multiple players get traded in the same draft. Even less frequently do you see multiple quarterbacks get selected or get traded, excuse me, in one trade. What this trade signifies to me is now more so than ever, two things. One, now more so than ever, and it's something that we've known. This isn't like groundbreaking, earth-shattering news. But more than ever, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. And two, with that, in tandem with the fact that it's a quarterback-driven league, the NFL is more so than ever quick to move on from, quote, mistakes. Now, what do you mean by that, Tyler? Was selecting Jared Goff with the first overall pick a mistake? Maybe not. I don't think so. I think Jared Goff has been good enough to warrant that selection, because when you looked at the quarterback draft class of the 2016 draft class, it was Jared Goff, it was Carson Wentz, and then there was a significant drop-off from scouting reports. For those of you that watched as much college football as I did, you'll know that I've said for a really long time that Dak Prescott should not have been a third-round pick. Or is it a fourth-round pick? Whatever it was, he should not have been a late-round pick. I thought that the way that Dak Prescott played at Mississippi State, he was going to be picked in the late first, early second round. The fact that he fell as far as he did was kind of shocking to me. But when it came down to scouting reports, it was those two guys, Goff and Wentz, and everybody else. So you're selecting one of two. You've got a 50% chance of picking the right quarterback, assuming one of them works out. But Jared Goff was traded up to get. The Rams traded multiple picks to the Tennessee Titans. Was it? Yeah, the Titans, I think it was. To get Jared Goff with the number one overall selection. Jared Goff took the team, whether you want to say it was the defense, it was Todd Gurley, it was the offensive weapons. Teams are led by quarterbacks. Jared Goff led the Rams to a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Not six, not 10. 2 years ago, the Rams were in a Super Bowl. Now, granted, he's not been good since. I think he has declined significantly. That's where we get to the micro level. 3 years ago, Carson Wentz, the number two overall pick, the quarterback who the Philadelphia Eagles traded up twice to get. First with the Miami Dolphins, then with the Cleveland Browns. Traded up twice to get at number two. Led a team to the Super Bowl 3 years ago. And yes, I still will always say Carson Wentz led that team to a Super Bowl. Because without Carson Wentz, there may not be a Super Bowl. Because you don't have the number one seed. You don't have the bye. You don't have home field advantage. Of course, Nick Foles won the games. But without Carson Wentz, there might not be a Super Bowl.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. Within the span of 36 months, not even yet, because the 36 months hasn't even gotten here yet. So within the span of 35 months, the number one and number two pick in the 2016 NFL draft, players that were traded up for three times for two guys. One was traded along with multiple first-round picks. The other has been in trade conversations for the better part of 6 months now. Carson Wentz wasn't good at all this season. In fact, he was terrible. We can call it for what it is. He was terrible. Jared Goff wasn't great either this season. Didn't turn the ball over as much as Carson Wentz. But I think at times he was ineffective. And I think for all the highs that Carson Wentz had, specifically 2017, and specifically the final four games of the 2019 season, Jared Goff never had those personal highs. He never had those individual games where I went, wow, this guy's a franchise quarterback. I thought that Carson Wentz did. Carson Wentz had more good games than Jared Goff did. Now, granted, Carson Wentz probably also had more awful games than Jared Goff did. But Carson Wentz's medium was better, and Carson Wentz's great was better. So what I'm trying to get at here is that now more than ever, teams are willing to admit that they made a mistake in drafting a particular player, specifically at the quarterback position. It honestly baffles me because you used to, when you drafted a quarterback high, you know, within the first five picks specifically, outside of just horrendous bust players like Jamarcus Russell, outside of guys like that, you gave your quarterback five full years. And if you didn't sign him, then you moved on. But if you signed him to a contract extension, you're with that guy for another 3, 4, or 5 years. What's so interesting about this particular season and this trade in specific is that both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff were given big money contract extensions recently. They were given the heart of the organization. They were given the confidence of the front office. And then the Eagles draft a quarterback in the second round. And the Rams, just a week ago, used a term that I thought was crazy. When they were asked about Jared Goff's future, they said he's our quarterback for now. For now. Not this year. Not until the draft. Just an open-ended for now. Quarterbacks are the most important position on the field. Quarterback might be the most important position of all in all of sports. Unless you want to say that it is an NHL goaltender, which I get. I totally understand. Quarterback is probably, if not the most important position in all of sports, it is at least the most important position in all of football. And now more so than ever, teams are willing to move on from a quarterback and admit their mistakes quicker than maybe I've ever seen. 610-632-0975. So we talk about this trade and that opening 14 minutes of the show kind of lays out the understanding of how this show is going to operate today. Because this is not just an Eagles conversation. This is an NFL conversation. So on top of what this means for the Philadelphia Eagles, on top of what this means for Carson Wentz, when we look at that macro, the whole league-wide scale, do you feel that this is the way that the league is moving? Where when you select a guy, whether it's number one or number 197, when you select a quarterback and they are not working out for your team, you move on. Is that going to become the norm of the NFL? Because right now, and I know people have heard Adam Schefter say it, he's tweeted it as well, Adam Schefter has said that there may be as many as 18 different teams who have a new starting quarterback in 2021 that they did not use in 2020. The Philadelphia Eagles might be one of them. Two teams already have identified their starting quarterback for 2021. Now, granted, it's just a flip of quarterbacks on the positional scale. Obviously, the picks involved are significant. But two teams already have solidified their quarterback position for 2021. Jared Goff is going to be the starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford is going to be the starting quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. If you were to put the over-under, I guess it's 17.5 because Adam Schefter said as many as 18. You've got two moving, and the Super Bowl hasn't even started yet. We're not even technically in the offseason yet. So from a macro level, what does this mean for you for the NFL? From a micro level, what does this mean for you for the Philadelphia Eagles? 610-632-0975. Before we get to Geronimo in Philly, we're going to bring in Nat Marler for the first time today. Nat, first off, good morning.
Hello, Tyler. How you doing?
I am intrigued. I'm perplexed and intrigued and really kind of excited about this NFL offseason. Because one thing that I know for certain is that Adam Schefter doesn't say things just to say things. Right? Like, he's not throw the spaghetti against the wall and hope it sticks. When he has something that he tweets out of importance like that, it makes me believe that maybe you don't get to 18. I mean, that's more than a half of the league. You're closing in on almost two-thirds of the league. Maybe it's not that many. But it leads me to believe that there is going to be significant turnover at the quarterback position in a majority of the NFL teams this year. You said to me before the show started, you've never been more intrigued or invested in specifically the Philadelphia Eagles offseason. Does that stretch for you past the Eagles and to the NFL as a whole?
Yes, especially because what it's going to do, I don't want to or for the Philadelphia Eagles, because the Super Bowl hasn't even started yet. And we're already talking about Matt Stafford being traded for Jared Goff. And Jared Goff being in the same draft class as Carson Wentz, he's already being traded. Carson Wentz, as of now, is still in Philadelphia. What is this going to do for the Philadelphia Eagles? Is Howie Roseman going to trade Carson Wentz? Are they going to bank on Jalen Hurts? Or are they not going to let that move affect them at all?
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what we're going to get into over the course of the next hour and 41 and a half minutes to be precise. That is what we are going to get into past the macro level of the NFL, is the worth of quarterbacks. Because we know that, or we assumed, I should say, that the worth of quarterbacks was going to be dictated on whether or not Deshaun Watson was traded. Because once Deshaun Watson is traded, because every time you look at the highest graded player at any position in any sport, you could talk about free agency, you could talk about a trade, you could talk about a draft, whatever it might be. Let's take I think Major League Baseball does this the most. Actually, that's probably not true. The NBA might do this the most. Because you have max contract players, right? In the NBA, you can only get a certain amount of money, and then you're at the max, or the supermax if you qualify for it. So let's say that you've got a supermax player. Everybody underneath that kind of slides in to a monetary value. You know, whether it's supermax, max, close to it, one-year deal, veteran minimum, you know, MLE fits in somewhere in there. So the NBA probably has this structured the best. But when it comes to the NFL, when you're talking about the quarterback position, every new quarterback that gets a contract seemingly resets the market. And that market goes up and goes up and goes up. And this year, the market's not going up because of a flat salary cap.
That GameStop is taking over stonks right now.
So. Well, right. So, you're looking at a weird dynamic of financials throughout the world.
You chose quite a week to say that.
So my point being is Deshaun Watson is going to dictate what we thought was going to dictate the market. And what I mean by that is once Deshaun Watson were to be traded, if he is traded, and you say Deshaun Watson's value is this many picks or this player or these players, everybody else kind of slides in. Now with this trade, assuming that Matt Stafford is worth two firsts and a third, because I don't think that Jared Goff was a major part of this deal. I think that Jared Goff was in this deal to make contracts match up. I'm not so sure Detroit loves Jared Goff. I am sure that Detroit loves three picks over the next 3 years that will slide somewhere within the top 96 picks in the draft. Two of which will be in the top 32. So to me, the Rams valued Matthew Stafford at two firsts and a third. What does that make the value of Deshaun Watson? What does that make the value of Carson Wentz? What does that make the value of Sam Darnold? So we've got a lot to unpack over the next hour and a half. This is not going to be strictly a Philadelphia Eagles show. If you want to discuss the impact of Carson Wentz, we're definitely going to do that. And this trade specifically, how it kind of sets the market. We will 100% do that, but this is not going to be a laser-focused, Eagles-specific show because I think that this is greater picture. This is grander than what the Eagles by themselves are, but it's super important to the Eagles franchise. 610-632-0975. And of course, we are going to get into, last week Nat and I discussed the Flyers' defense and how they might need some help. That hasn't changed. So I do want to discuss the Flyers because they continue to win. But at times it doesn't look pretty. So we will discuss that as well. We've got a couple of fun side topics to get into throughout the next hour and a half of the show. 610-632-0975. Geronimo in Philly, hang tight. We will get to you. You'll be the first one up. And then it can be you. 610-632-0975. I'm Tyler Zulli. He's Nat Marlowe. We take you until 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.